Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to Joshua Sinclair, who is both a university student and a business owner. Josh, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
I am incredibly excited to talk to you. Now, before we hit record, he said the name of his company is Webstart IOM. Josh, where did the inspiration for starting the company come from?
I thought I wanted to start a company off the back of working at an investment company in the Isle of Man over summer. And I sort of had a look at, you know, what problems there were that I can identify for students specifically back then, and also sort of, you know, what was missing. I'm a problem solver, I always have been. So yeah, I decided, okay, you know, what could go wrong? I decided to start a software company that primarily focused on sort of bringing students together as like a sort of like an internship company, I guess, to build software for like obviously people, but not charge it at a very high rate, obviously, because it was built by students. But then after that, I sort of, you know, I spoke to a lot of people in business, obviously being the investment company. I asked a lot of people who, you know, I could turn to, like directors, and I also spoke to the company's CEO, which is very cool as well. Not something you can get very easily. And yeah, all these people have been in business for a long time, so they know what works and what doesn't. So I started to, you know, ask the questions of, does this business strategy work? Does it not? How, you know, how and why? Then I decided to change the company's, I guess, foundations being from a student company run thing to like an actual company. I got it registered, limited company, and we started building software for people. I knew a few software developers because I studied computer science. And yeah, I went from there. My cousin's also a software developer, so that definitely helped. But I just decided to jump right into a massive, massive hole in the earth that was full of tech and computing and machine learning and data analytics. And I just, submersed myself in it.
How old were you? I think sometimes when you're young and you're able to jump right in, you don't have as much imposter syndrome. You don't have as much fear. You don't have as much understanding of what can really go wrong. You're more bold. You're more courageous. You're more brave. I know in my case, I was 15, 16 when I started my first business, and I really didn't know what could go wrong that I didn't know to be scared. Do you find that to be true for you?
I think there are certain things that have happened in sort of the younger years of my life where I would do everything possible for that not to happen again to, you know, my future family or, you know, my friends. So I think, I guess I sort of saw those as, I don't know, a lot of authors call these like demons that people might come across in their life. And, you know, if it's not as bad as that, or it can't get as bad as that, you know, is there any, you know, downside to doing it? Probably not for me.
So you were young, you decided to jump right in. What has it been like balancing university until, I'm sure you're studying something techie. What has it been like balancing that? Because that's a big juggling act for you.
So when I first started the company, obviously it was in summer and I didn't have university on. So I didn't really focus on that specifically. I didn't think about what...
You had no... You thought nothing about courses,
yeah,
nothing about coursework.
Nope.
It was all full steam ahead in your company.
Yeah, it was full steam ahead with my company, getting incorporated, getting a director on board, co-founders and everything like that. And obviously managing a relationship, and obviously I play a lot of cricket as well. So very full plate, and also working at the investment company as well.
And staying sane and taking care of your mental health. The list keeps going on and on and on, doesn't it? And also sleeping.
Yes, also sleeping. A lot of sleepless nights. Even if I plan to sleep at, let's say, 11 o'clock at night, I probably won't really sleep, you know, that full 7 hours or whatever the magic number is. But yeah.
When you transitioned back to university, What were those first 2 weeks like?
The first 2 weeks were a bit crazy. I decided to change university from Bangor to University of Liverpool. And, you know, I knew nobody. And so I was also trying to balance, trying to find friends as well. I'm not somebody who, if there's a lot of stress on me, I sort of, you know, cave in and not talk to anybody. I sort of try to get on with it. My girlfriend might say something different, but personally, it feels a bit, you know, I don't crack, I guess, or I don't feel, you know, the world around me is, you know, falling everywhere. But I do have to balance, like you said, like, you know, how do you really balance it? I think it's just having a good, happy home, to be honest. You know, it doesn't matter what I do from the times of 9 till 5. I come home, I spend time with, you know, my girlfriend, Nicole, who you know, and yeah, we just sit and watch television and she makes sure that I relax and, you know, so my brain switches off so that the next day I can go back and prioritize what I need to do, whether it's schoolwork or if it's company work. You know, you just dedicate a certain amount of time to each.
I love that you mentioned that about the way that you handle stress, because it is so different for everyone. And for those that do have that rock bottom moment, it's sort of like waving a red flag as if, you know, there's something majorly wrong here. Whereas somebody like yourself who doesn't have those rock bottom moments, it's harder to know as that builds up when you're suffering. So how do you start to notice like, oh my goodness, I felt stressed 5, 6, 7, 8 days in a row. And what are your stress management techniques beyond sitting with Nicole? Do you do anything else fun? I know you mentioned cricket. Anything else? Give us some tips and strategies here.
I'll say something that I do. I have reached rock bottom before a few times. I know when they're about to, when a certain stress load could get to that point. It doesn't matter if I have an assignment due in the next hour. It's my fault that, you know, I didn't do it previously when I had many hours to get it done. So it's knowing when to stop and knowing when to turn to, you know, people you love or family or friends and just saying like, you know, I don't want to do any more work. Or, you know, you do want to do more work, but you know you'll reach that rock bottom and it's not nice for everybody else around you. If I can try and make someone around me happy, you know, obviously I'll do that. So maybe it's a magnet where I'm not feeling good. Let's try and make somebody else happy and do something with them. Then I love Formula One. That's something I have a really, really passionate interest for, you know, all the great engineering minds in the field of motorsport fighting against each other in terms of mathematics and physics to try and, you know, beat each other on the track. So, you know, I think that's a way of me turning to something which is a bit more relaxing, but still in my sort of subject field and area, if that makes sense.
You mentioned Nicole. I'm very curious in this, and this is a bit offbeat. Socially, how do you find getting on with people, making friends, getting in social circles with the fact that you're a business owner? And that's not a lived experience that many university students have. So how do you find that socially?
I guess it can be a little bit challenging because, you know, you hear all these things from very successful people and say, you know, they say like you need to surround yourself with like-minded individuals, but 90% of university students aren't going to be like me, and I appreciate that. Thankfully, I have actually found somebody who is like me. He's a very close friend of mine, also a co-founder in my company. And yeah, we get on really, really well. I guess that's just very lucky. So in my case, just very, very fortunate that I found somebody who is like-minded like me, who wants to, you know, strive to be the best and conquer the world, I guess, if you could say. So yeah, very lucky in that sense.
And I think when you have less friends that are of a high caliber and a high quality and really going in the same direction as you, you really have to prioritize them and take good care of that relationship.
Yeah, 100%. But I also understand that my relationship with one of my close friends, in this case, my co-founder, is also a business partner. So, you know, sometimes there could be a line drawn between, are we friends right now or are we business partners? That's something where you also have to sort of be wary about, I think, because, you know, a lot of people also say don't go into business with family because it can really, you know, they can really strain a lot of relationships. And I probably agree with that to some degree. But if both parties are able to put on different hats at different times when needed, then I think it can work.
How did you learn that? Because that is very much a switching. Little fact about me, my sister is only 14 months younger than me. We have a business together. One of our businesses is together. And yeah, we don't always see eye to eye. Do we mostly see eye to eye? Yes. But sometimes that can be hard.
because we are so incredibly close, and then we want to do things differently. So how did you build that skill set up, that muscle, if you will?
I think to build that skill set up, obviously, it's a method of, I guess, trial and error. So before I started my software company, I actually was playing with the idea of starting an online maths company. And I tried to start it with a few university friends. It didn't end up like going where it should have gone. But that's because we were all just really, really good friends and wanted to do something for the better good of, you know, the field of mathematics, because we all enjoyed it, rather than having to get, I guess, like a interpersonal relationship with business in between. It was just, we're all friends, let's try and do this. If that doesn't work, when you all are quite similar in personality and skill set, often you'll come to a crossroads, or someone doesn't do something that you hope they would do, but because you're friends, you can't tell them to do it. Or that first initial relationship with that person was a friendship rather than a business partnership. It becomes a bit...
It's a very murky water. Imagine your younger sister. That's very murky. I'm an expert at that. One thing I'm curious about socially for you too is, how have you found your relationship and your interactions with your teachers and your professors to be?
Yeah, so they all know what I'm doing, and you know that I've got a company, that I've got a, you know, one of the students is also one of my co-founders.
And they support you.
Yeah, of course they do. And like, they don't put the university first as well. So, well, you know, I'm not saying they don't put the university first, but a lot of universities might look to students who have business ventures and see that they might be using some university resources and try and, you know, get a cut in there. But my university lecturers and professors are not like that. They are more like a friend to me, an advisor, in the terms of like, you know, academics and their experiences as well. Because, you know, one of my university professors is around 70 years old, so a lot of life experience, whether that's in business, academia, or relationship-wise. So he provides a lot of insight for me on the field of machine learning, because that's sort of what my company is directing towards now, which is also, if you don't know, is the real engineering term of artificial intelligence. And also I've got other, you know, university lecturers who are 40 years old, 50 years old, who are a bit younger, who are in the same position as me now, going into their first sort of business ventures. So it's good to have that relationship with university lecturers, because I see them more than just teaching me material that's been taught, you know, for 10, 20 years. They are people with life experience who are very successful in their own field. So there's definitely a lot of experiences that you can learn from them.
And you're very smart to take notice of that, because mentorship, it goes way underutilized and way underappreciated.
100%.
How have your mentors impacted you personally, professionally, mentally, emotionally, socially? I just ask you the whole nine yards. You can take it whatever direction you feel compelled.
So I have actually quite a lot of mentors. One of them, starting with Nicole's dad, actually. His name's Ralph. He's a director of an investment company. And, you know, he's been through loads of other, you know, previous companies as well, and learned so many different things. And he's often my first point of contact when it comes to anything in business, because he's been around it. He's been in it, he's in the finance sector. It's a very fast-paced, sort of high-pressure environment. And being in a startup, it's sort of similar, but the money isn't there, I guess. So you still have fast-paced, which is one characteristic which is similar, which I can ask about. Another one is, you know, innovation. Another one is, you know, people skills as well. Because before this, I was never like managing my own team of people, a team of staff, I guess, if you will. I don't like to call them staff, because it sort of feels like I'm degrading them a bit, because they're on the same level as me. And, you know, that's the sort of team I've built around me. You know, we all have equal say in everything. But it's important for me to get that experience from, you know, one of those mentors who has, you know, managed teams before, who's been in stressful situations, who's been in high pressure environments. And there's also no sort of barrier between myself and Ralph, because he's family, and, you know, I can ask him sort of anything. And then, you know, I've also got mentors in terms of bigger investment bank directors who I don't have that sort of personal family relationship with, who I have to be more formal with. and take ideas too recently, you know, expecting to have a hard comeback. That's a bad idea. All of those different types of characteristics are very important, even the ones which, you know, give me feedback I don't want to hear. You know, this is a bad idea because if you do this, it's going to fail. You know, I can choose to be upset about that feedback from those mentors, or I can choose to listen to them off the back of their experience, which I've never experienced before, and probably understand that they probably know what they're talking about and I don't, until I make the mistake. And I think making mistakes is also something which is very important as well. If you never make mistakes, you'll never learn, you'll never get better.
I have so much to say about what you just said, but perhaps the most impressive thing, you said that you are close friends and family with your girlfriend's dad. Now that, Joshua, as somebody who comes to our family of all girls, that's hard. So kudos to you. We're going to give you a clap there because that speaks to your interpersonal skill. But to the other part of what you said, you were able to pick up on the fact that mentorship is going to accelerate you and amplify the greatness that you already have. Whether you're a great communicator, whether you're a great innovator, whether you're a great, you know, whatever it is that you want to be great at. If you can find somebody who feeds into that gift, who feeds into your dreams and helps you get there faster, that amplification makes a big difference in how fast you're able to grow and what you're able to juggle. And I love that you found that because I didn't find it at your age. It took me making a lot of mistakes and then realizing, oh my goodness, I need to ask for help because that asking is hard.
Yeah, I guess for me, all this type of thinking and relationship juggling started when I was at this investment company in the summer before I started my company. I was sat, you know, at a service desk, and service desk engineer, which is a glorified version of IT help desk. I was going to all these different, you know, groups or teams around the bank who I was helping, you know, sort of set up their, you know, their headphones, or it could be their keyboard wasn't working or mouse wasn't working or they needed another monitor. And I picked up that all these people around me had so much more experience than me, but couldn't do this specific niche. And I realized that, okay, I'm sat in this niche here where I know IT, I know tech, but I don't know what they're doing. And at the age of 19, I wanted to be able to reach what they were doing and be on their salary now. And the only way for me to do that was to speak to them and pick their brains about their experiences. You know, if somebody in front of me is on, say, £50,000 a year and they're 10 years older than me, I want to be able to be in that position the next 2 years, you know? So the best I can do is just ask them, you know, about their career, about how they got there, what they did, their experiences. And for me, there's no harm in doing that. The worst thing that can happen is you come away from that conversation with what you started with, which is nothing. If you do ask them something and you get something in return, great, you've learned something new. But if you haven't, that's also fine, because at the start of that, you didn't know that person.
What's the best piece of advice, in your opinion, a mentor has ever given you? I know that's a tough one.
Best piece of advice for me was this. I give a bit of background. I was, again, at this investment company in summer, and I decided to message the newly hired chief operating officer who'd just come from a very well-known bank. It was a European bank. It was a very big bank. I can't remember what the name was, but he'd just been hired and he'd only be there for 2 months. And I decided to message him because, you know, I'm an outgoing person. And I just said, hey, would you be willing to have a chat with me? And he said, yes, no problem. So I managed to have a chat with this director who'd previously been at like JP Morgan and Chase in New York as a director. And I don't know when anyone would ever come by someone like that. So first of all, I was very happy that I got that conversation in the first place to ask about career advice. And at the end of the conversation, you know, lots of things to take away. I asked him, you know, what's the one thing I should take away from this conversation if I could only take away one? And always think about forever going forward. And he said, each individual's person has these three pillars with a big roof on top. One pillar is made up of family. One pillar is made up of me. And one pillar is made up of work. As soon as one of those pillars start to crack or start to rupture, the other two can only stand for a certain amount of time until the roof comes crashing down. Now, he said to me, you need to honestly make the judgment every so often, whether it's, you know, weeks gone by or 2 weeks have gone by or a month's gone by or a year's gone by, and assess yourself on how those pillars are doing. If one of them is starting to crack, you need to do something about it. Otherwise, you know, it might be too late. Something bad could really happen and impact your life. But if you're proactively thinking about those three pillars constantly, everything should be okay.
I love that, because it wasn't only professional, it was personal. That's beautiful. I am going to ask you a hard one. What are the top 2 to 3 either strategies that you use to juggle it all, or 2 to 3 pieces of advice you would give students who are visionaries, who are creatives, who are wanting to do something that's out of the ordinary? What's 2 to 3 things you would say to them?
The first thing I would say is, don't plan on doing something tomorrow or in the future if you can do it now. Because whether someone's going to get in front of you and beat you to it, or you're going to keep pushing it off, those aren't chances you should take. The second thing is, you've got nothing to lose. When you're young, you have no mortgage, probably don't have, you know, kids to feed, no extortionate gas bills or, you know, heating bills, probably don't have a lot of overheads to pay for in general. So if you're thinking about starting a company, whether it succeeds financially or not, you'll still take profits away from it, whatever you deem profits to be, whether that's life experience, monetary value, or just failures that you've taken on the chin and learned from, you know, back to that experience part. Just go for it. Otherwise, I don't think you ever will.
I love that you see failures as resources. They are such a resource.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of things which haven't gone my way that without them going on, like without them failing or not going my way or the way I wanted them to, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in today.
Before we sign off, tell people how they can connect with you, how they can find you if they want to soak in your wisdom or hire your company.
Yep. So you can find my company on LinkedIn, Webster.iom, and you can find my LinkedIn account, Joshua-Sinclair-AI, on LinkedIn, and you'll find me there. Those are the two sort of main social media platforms I'm on, and so is my company. And also, in terms of if you want to reach out to us over email, inbox@webster.iom.com is also available.
Definitely reach out to Josh, because he is very smart. He knows what he's talking about. I felt like I learned a lot today, and I had so much fun with you, Josh. Is there anything you want to say before we sign off?
Just thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.